John chapter 6, I'm not going to read the entire rest of the chapter, but I'd like to just come out of the text where we were this morning and talking about that little lad and the lunch that he had, and my how that song tonight fit with that. But I'd like to just come out of it and talk to you a little bit tonight about some things after the great victory. There's a great need been met here. There's 5,000 men that's hungry. And if you read in another text, and anytime you read a story in the Gospels, you ought to read all the accounts, because some will be missing some things. Doesn't mean it's not accurate. I've said for years, if you had a wreck at an intersection, and you had somebody standing on this corner, and 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 they interviewed them all, they all saw the same wreck. That some's going to see something or hear something that somebody else didn't see or hear. Still the same story. For example, here in the storm we're going to read about tonight, this is also where Peter said, if you read the book of Matthew, "Lord, is it thou?" And he said, "Bid me, if it's you, come bid me to come to thee on the water." Well, that's not included in this story. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Amen. But it's just that you have to read them all when they're in the Gospels like that, and to get the entire message. After the great victory, the Bible said in verse 16, "And when even was now come, his disciples went into the sea, and they entered into a ship." Well, if you read this account, you don't get the part where Jesus told them to get in the ship. Go the other side. I mean, it just, if you just read this alone, you wouldn't get that. But Jesus actually told them to get in the ship, go the other side. And you say, "Well, I don't know why that's important." You will in a moment. "And it's now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew." The Sea of Galilee was good for that. And I actually experienced that when I was in Israel on what they call the Jesus boat. They got this boat that takes you take a boat ride across through there. And actually, just like that, we encountered a storm. And I'm telling you, the old boat don't look like much. And I know there was some people on the boat that weren't swimmers. You say, "How do you know?" Just look at the expression on their face. Amen. As the waves would crash up and come up over the top and splash us with water. So there's a storm. And he said, "When they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them," I love this, can I just say this to you? The Bible said the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. But I'm going to tell you, it's the fear of the Lord that brings you to the Lord. But when you come to the Lord, he'll tell you, "You don't have to be afraid. I can take care of you." Amen. "I can take care of this situation." He said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. You're going to find out a little bit later in the discourse here that some of the people couldn't figure it out. They couldn't figure out how Jesus got over there. Amen. You know what? Jesus don't need a boat to cross the sea. Amen. And it's an amazing thing tonight just to think about a few thoughts that God's given me in the remainder of the chapter after this great feeding of the 5,000. There's a great victory, but then there's some things we need to look at tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, for the promises of the Word of God. I pray, dear Lord, tonight that you would just speak to our hearts from the text. Help us tonight, our Father. Lord, I'm reminded of what Brother Mays said years ago. The child of God is either in a storm, or they just came out of a storm, or they're headed into a storm. Lord, so many of our families in recent days have faced the storm. Lord, Brother Sexton's family, Lord of faithful, man of God, giving up his wife to glory. Lord, I pray for him tonight. And the others, our Lord, that are dear to our hearts, that have given up their loved ones. Lord, I'm glad there's going to be a reunion soon. And I pray that until then, Lord, you'd continue to give grace that's sufficient for every need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give you, I guess, about five things tonight. Now, I won't be before you long, the Lord willing, but I want to give you some thoughts out of the remainder of this chapter on what's taken place after this great victory when the Lord used the little lad's lunch to feed 5,000 men, and that was beside the women and the children. I want to start with the danger, the danger. One of the most dangerous times, I believe, in the life of the believer is after God does something wonderful in their life. Listen, I believe it's also a dangerous time in the life of a church. We need to be on our guard, amen? God's a-working. The Spirit of God is convicting. There are people that have not yet been saved. We're trusting God that soon will come to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. When God works, we don't need to let up. We need to look up, amen? And we need to realize that he's doing the work and we need to continue to go on with him. There's a danger. There's several things here that I'll give you. Number one, there was a danger caused by the storm. I just read about that. Beloved, listen, sometimes after God brings a great victory, there'll come a great storm in our lives as the children of God. But aren't you glad there's one bigger than the storm? Aren't you glad there's one that, my friend, is never under the waves, but always walking on the waves? When the waves of trouble are over our head, we need to never forget they're under his feet, amen? And he can help us in the storm. And notice this, this seems unusual, but there's also a danger that's caused by the supply. What do you mean? Look at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? God's wrought a great victory. He's fed all these people. What do you mean there's a danger in the supply?" I could wrap it up this thought like this. There's a danger in getting your eyes on the blessing and getting your eyes off of the blesser. Amen. We need to know where they come from tonight. Amen. And listen, the blessing is not to get our eyes off of our Savior, but thank God to get our eyes on the one that loved us and gave himself for us. There's a danger caused by the supply. Jesus said, "You're following me, but you're following me for the wrong reason. You're following me because of what's in your belly, not because of what's in your heart." I tell you, beloved, tonight, listen, God, listen, told us over there in the book of Revelation, there's a danger of losing our leaving our first love. Amen. He ought to be the love of our life tonight. So there's a danger caused by the storm. There's a danger caused by the supply. But then there's a danger caused by short-sightedness. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Well, if you will, look at it with me here. The Bible talked about the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 15. "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king." Beloved, listen, they didn't have the long side or the far side. They didn't have that far away look, looking on down the road. They just wanted him a king right now. We know what that got Israel. When they wanted him a king right now, God gave them Saul. Amen. And beloved, listen, there's a danger of not looking at the finish line. Paul said, listen, "Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before." We don't need just look for today, just look for tomorrow, but we need to look for that day when he comes, amen, and live for that day when he comes. Oh, beloved friend,
over there in the book of Revelation, that because of their short-sightedness, they didn't realize he had to become the sacrifice in order that he could be the Savior. Amen. He couldn't just set up a kingdom. Beloved, listen, yes, in eternity, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but first he had to be the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so there's the danger that's caused by short-sightedness. Over there in Revelation chapter number 19, I love this text. I haven't read it in a while. And I think if God will help me, I'm going to get alone with the Lord and try to memorize this text. In Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I say to you tonight, listen, if you're here and you're lost without God, you need to realize there's a day coming when every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. And beloved, there's a danger after the great victory of being short-sighted and not looking out there at that day. Amen. Amen. Beloved, listen. Listen to me carefully. I said this week, and I don't say it with apology. I believe when we go to a funeral, the gospel ought to be preached. Amen. You say, preacher, why don't you apologize about that? I'll tell you why. Because that's the only gospel some people's going to hear. Amen. Amen. And beloved, they need to realize that day's coming in their life too. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And Jesus is our only hope of getting out of this world and getting into his heaven. Amen. And so there was a danger after this great victory. Notice the discourse on the bread of life after this victory. Listen, Jesus given them physical bread. Now he's going to tell them about something that's better than physical bread. He's going to tell them about spiritual bread. Oh, beloved, listen. The Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, beloved, listen. Now, that goes along with something I've been saying for years. Beloved, I've got more respect for somebody to tell me they don't believe a word of this Bible than somebody that'll go through this Bible and pick and choose what they're going to believe. Honey, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is true. And Jesus is that living bread tonight. Let's look here in the Bible. What's the discourse tell us about? It tells us about the work. Look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. I'll tell you, it tells us about the work. It tells us about the way. Look at beginning in verse number 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? But let me tell you something. Listen to me carefully. He said, preacher, what do you mean the way? The way of God is not see and believe. The way of God is believe and see. Amen. There's too many people in this world saying, God, if you'll show me something, I'll believe. God saying, if you'll believe me, I'll show you something. Amen. Amen. Listen, we're living in a dispensation here in the Word of God where the Jews require a sign. And God has given them sign after sign after sign. But there was a transition that took place in the book of Acts. And God said, listen, I'm not going to allow you now to go after the sign. I want you to go after the Savior and look unto him. The one that saves by his grace. It tells us about the work. It tells us about the way. In verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, they were quick to jump back there to Moses. They were quick to jump back there to Abraham. They threw him for a loop when he'd say something like this before Abraham was. I am. Amen. They didn't know how to take that. Amen. And I'll deal with that in a little while. Look what he said here. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. In other words, listen to me. All Moses done is told them how to gather it and when to gather it and how much of it to gather. Honey, Moses didn't make that happen. It was the God of heaven that saw people that were hungry and God met their need back yonder. And again, they've got their eyes on the blessing and they don't have their eyes on the blesser, the one that rained it down upon them. The word of God said here, For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Jesus is telling them now, watch, he's going to get plain. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, beloved, the way in this discourse is the Jesus way. He's the bread, the living bread. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the water of life. He's the door. He's the resurrection and the life. He's all we need tonight. Amen. All we need is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells us about the Father's will, this discourse. Look at verse 38. For I came down from heaven, Jesus said, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Boy, I tell you, you know how we could have revival in America? If people got more interested in his will than our will. That's how we'd have revival, amen, in our churches. That's how we could turn the world upside down once again. It tells us about the Father's will. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he should give me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. Thank God tonight. This discourse tells us about the Father's will. It tells us about what is written. Look at verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Beloved, if you'll go back to chapter 5, look at what he said here. Jesus is dealing with them. He said in verse 39, Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Let me tell you something tonight. Let me tell you something tonight. You can know the Bible forward and backwards. You can know the Word of God and not know the God of the Word. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the Lord Jesus is the only way to know the God of heaven. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You say, Preacher, what's he trying to tell them? He's trying to tell them, Moses was telling y'all about me. Abraham was telling y'all about me. Isaiah was telling y'all about me. Jeremiah was telling y'all about me. Daniel was telling y'all about me. God is trying to say, hey, all through your history, I've had the Word of God given by men of God, pointing men and women, boys and girls, to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But he said, look in the next verse, and you will not come to me. I want you to notice this. Listen, this is important. He didn't say you could not come to me. That's being taught today. He said you would not come to me. Jesus said there, oh, I may not get it exactly right, old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks. And he said, and ye would not. He would not. But let me tell you something tonight. The men that he's talking to know the Bible. They have the Bible memorized. They have the Bible sewn up in their phylacteries and their garments. They have a form of godliness and they're denying the power thereof. Lest you forget, beloved, let me tell you something. Everything that's got a steeple on top of it is not pointing towards the Lamb of God. Beloved, we still have a generation full of false prophets that are pointing men to their own way instead of pointing their, my son, souls to the cross of Calvary and the forgiveness that God gives. Beloved, the discourse on the bread of life. Let me give you this. Number three, the dilemma. Look at verse 59. I want to show you something here. You come down here. I'm going to back up, but don't worry about that and get some of this. He said, said he in Capernaum, in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Jesus is going back now. He's talking about the bread. I'm the bread that come down. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then they're saying, boy, this is a hard saying. You see, Jesus is saying, listen, that life is not in the manna. That life is not in your bellyful that you got over there, amen, to see at Tiberias. It's not in those broken loaves and those broken fishes. But that life is in my body that's going to be broken for you. And you've got to believe that message. You've got to receive that message. I want you to see the dilemma that they're in. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, oh, beloved, listen, you look at verse 41. Then the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Let me ask you a question. How in the world, this is the same people that saw those water pots filled with water turned into wine. These are the same people, are you listening to me tonight, that saw that woman of ill repute, that woman of Samaria, saved by the grace of God, come back to town, say, come see a man that told me all things. These are the same ones that saw that man there at the pool of Bethesda, that saw that man healed by the grace of God. The Bible's talking about many miracles that Jesus did. How in the world could you walk with Jesus 2 or 3 days and murmur? They're doing it. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Listen to me. This will help you. They're just like we used to be. Blind to the things of God. Beloved, let me tell you something tonight. Lest you and I forget it, we ought to praise God tonight. The Word of God said blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles may come in. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen, thank God in the middle of the tribulation, God will take the blinders off of Israel. But thank God he grafted you and I in as a Gentile that we could be saved by the good grace of God. There's a dilemma here. They're murmuring. Why? Because they didn't understand. Look at verse 42. Is not this Jesus? Watch this now. You don't see this phrase very often in the Bible. I didn't type it in to see how many times it's in the Bible, but we know it's here. It's not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? They didn't have problem, Brother Preston, with him being the son of Joseph. I'll tell you where the problem came when he said he's the son of God. They understood, beloved, listen, when he said he was the son of God, that he made himself equal with God. Let me just say this and say it kindly. There are Baptists that still don't know that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You say three gods? Nope, just one. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. There's one true God. And I tell you, you leave Jesus out, you don't have the true God. Jesus talked, the Bible talked about in the book of Galatians, another gospel, another Jesus. There's a whole lot of people got another Jesus. The Jesus of this Bible is not a created being. He's the creator of the world. You say, preacher, where'd you get? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same as in the beginning, with God. All things were made by him. Without him, you say, now who's the him? The Word. I'll get to that in a minute. I'll tell you exactly who the Word is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness. The darkness comprehended not. If you drop down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Beloved, it's just as wrong. Listen to me, I didn't mean to get on this, but it's just as wrong to get in that Jesus-only crowd. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, this Bible teaches that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It teaches us that Jesus is God's only begotten Son, that He's the only way to the Father. That there is the Holy Ghost that Jesus sent down. You want to see the Trinity? I'll show it to you at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus, John's got Jesus. John's putting Him under the water in the River Jordan. And the Father from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The Spirit of God in the form of that heavenly dove descended upon Him. Right there you see the Son under the water, the Father speaking from heaven, and the Spirit descended on Him. You can't deny it. Amen. Jesus, after this great victory, there's that danger, there's that discourse, then there's that dilemma. You've got to make up your mind who this Jesus is. Is He just the one that can feed your belly, or is He the one that can fill your heart? I say He's both. Yes, He is. He's both. I tell you, we don't know much about it in this generation, but there's people that come through the Great Depression that knew what it was not to have anything in the cupboard, and knew what it was to get down on their knees. George Mueller fed those children for all those years. And many times would sit down at the table with plates in front of them and nothing to go on the plate. And thank God for their food. You say, how could you do that? I tell you how, by faith. Knowing there's a God in heaven that had never let you down yet. And He didn't aim to start now. Once was young and now I'm old. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed of begging bread. Hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah tonight. I appreciate the Lord. There's a dilemma. They don't know what to do. They didn't understand, but the bad problem was they didn't believe. Verse number 60, the Bible said here in verse 61, "Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before?" See, Jesus didn't know only that He was going to the cross, but He knew He was going back to the throne. He knew He was going to sit down in the same place where He got up. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said here, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." Boy, that'd be good for us to get a hold of that. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. Watch this now. He said, "But there are some of you that believe not." That's the problem. That's the problem. Beloved, listen. Watch this. They're in a dilemma. The Bible said here, Jesus knew from the beginning. Brother Brian brought this out in Sunday school last week, how that Jesus knows. He knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. Watch verse 65. And He said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto Me except it were given him of My Father." Now look at this. It's a hard saying, remember? Jesus said, "Except you eat of My flesh and drink of My blood, you can't have eternal life." Hard saying. Watch this now. Here's a crowd that's been right with Him. They've seen the miracles. They've been fed. They've gotten their belly full. But watch what the Bible said. The Bible said, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." I wish I could tell you tonight that everybody that ever started out, listen to me, even started out looking like they were walking with Him. There's a verse in 1 John. I don't know if I can find it now. I think it's in 1 John. Maybe I can quote part of it. John, I believe it was 1 John. Y'all can maybe nod your head at me if I'm right. But he said, they were not all of us. That's what John said. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They were not all of us. You see, Jesus would have liked to think that day that, boy, oh boy, everybody there. You know the word got around quick. Everybody couldn't see. If there's 5,000 men, everybody can't see what Jesus is doing at that little boy's lunch. But I guarantee you this, the word spread through the crowd. Man, you ain't believing this. He started out with two fishes and two little fishes and five loaves. And every one of us is getting all we can eat. I mean, they thought they was at the Golden Corral, amen? The buffet. They got full. They all, I believe, before it's over with, knew exactly what had been done. But now it gets hard. It gets where the rubber meets the road. Oh, we want to make you a king. He wouldn't have that because he wanted to be their Savior. He knew he had to be a sacrifice before he could be a king. And beloved, it's amazing to me how a lost man's mind works. In one text, they want to make him a king. In another text, they go away and they walk with him no more. I'll give you this tonight. I want you to look at this declaration. Just two more things quickly, and I'm done. Then said Jesus unto the 12, this is a good question. Will ye also go away? I said, that's a good question. I'll guarantee you this tonight. There's people that went away that never, ever dreamed they'd ever go away. Sitting in church on Sunday night, just like we are tonight. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you there's a danger in getting your eyes off of the blesser and getting your eyes on the blessing. You see, if you keep your eyes on the blesser and the stock market crashes, you'll still be praising him. If you keep your eyes on the blesser, Brother Thurman, and we lose our health or we lose our spouse, we'd still be praising him. You say, preacher, that's tough. No, that's the truth. That's why Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job didn't have his eyes just on the blessing. When he was praying for his children, a man that walked upright and eschewed evil and was praying for his children, he was looking to God. When God took his children, he was still looking to God. When God took his health, he was still looking to God. Brother Brian was over in the fellowship hall today telling me, Sister Kim, about a couple that have passed that he got acquainted with in Houston. Let me tell you something tonight. We're not here forever. But I tell you, it would behoove us while we're here to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Not to get our eyes so much on the sandwich, but where the sandwich came from, who provided the sandwich. Beloved, listen, there's a declaration. Watch it here. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? I like that. You say, old Peter, hey, my little granddaughter was sitting over there today, little Olivia. She's barefooted, and she's pretty limber. She was sitting there on her butt in the floor, and she picked her foot up and put it in her mouth. I looked at her, and I said, honey, Papa does that all the time, but just not physically. You all act like you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Peter was one that put his foot in his mouth a lot. But he's got it right here, Brother Gary. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? If we was to leave you, where would we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. Watch this. We believe and are sure. Boy, I like that. Peter might not have had everything right, but he was sure that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me just say this. There are a lot of things in life you can afford to be wrong on, but you can't afford to be wrong right there. You better be sure and know that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you better know him in the free pardon of sin. Let me just say this tonight. A preacher said this years ago. I'd give him credit if I could remember who said it. He said eternity is way too long to be wrong. You better think about that tonight. Beloved, it's way too long to be wrong. You can know you're right when you're on the side of Jesus, when he is your Savior, the Jesus of the Bible. I give you this and I'm done. I see the devil. I'll tell you, there's one thing that's always going to happen. Somebody's going to show up. Somebody's going to show up after a great victory. I told little Maggie back there this morning, I said, Maggie, write today's date down, honey, in your Bible. Write it down. I said, when that old devil comes around, he tells you this or he tells you that. I said, you rub his nose in it. And you say, right there is where I took Jesus to be my Savior. How many knows, beloved, listen, that old devil, even Jesus, when he was tempted there in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, nothing to eat. The Bible said even when Jesus was tempted, and he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And then the Bible said, then the devil leaveth him. Anybody know the next three words? For a season. What's that mean? Well, in East Tennessee vernacular, it just means this. He'll be back. And after a great victory, God does something wonderful in your life like he did for all these 5,000 men besides the women and the children. Beloved, you can be sure the devil's going to rear his head. He's going to show up. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can listen to me. You don't have to listen to me if you don't want to. But I tell you sometimes, listen, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Brother Grizzle, sometimes it scares me. I'm talking about our church and our people. We love one another. Would somebody say amen tonight? We're trying our best to serve God. But do you ever just wonder, where is he? How's he going to try to come in? You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm a shepherd. And the shepherd's looking out for that devil. Say amen. He'll try every way in the world to get in. Have you and I at odds with each other? That's what he wants to do. Jesus said right here, verse 70, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Oh, beloved friend, tonight, I hope God's taught us something from the Word of God. When he's good to us, don't let your guard down. When there's a great victory, don't let your guard down. Because old Slewfoot, he don't like it. He don't like losing. He's a loser and he knows he's a loser. But he don't like losing. He wants to make losers out of you and losers out of me. I'm just glad you come this way tonight. Oh, my soul. I didn't know I was going to say all that. But it's good to open the Bible. Brother Brian taught us this morning, Brother Grizzle, about liberty. It's good to have liberty in the Lord. Just to know people are praying for you. To know people want to hear the truth. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, let me beg you, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Funerals this week, prayer meeting on Wednesday night, Lord willing. There's no guarantee that we'll even make it to the house tonight. I'm telling you, the King is coming. The King is coming. I like the song. It said, praise God, he's coming for me. Amen. I want you to go with me to the city of God. Let's bow for prayer for just a moment tonight.